So now it's a great personal honor to introduce one of the clearly the most visible and one of the most thoughtful legislators involved with immigration reform on Capitol Hill, Congressman Luis Gutierrez. Congressman Gutierrez's passion for this issue, as we all know, runs deep. As he writes in his new book, and I hope you don't mind if I plug your book here. His book is Still Dreaming, My Journey from the Barrio to Capitol Hill. You can't avoid it in any bookstore you go to. But he writes, touchingly, I think, every day that I remain in Congress, I believe it's my duty to wake up and think about immigrants. As the chair of Immigration Task Forces of the House Democratic Caucus and the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, he's emerged clearly as a central, pivotal figure in immigration reform in the U.S. immigration and the immigration system, in particular because it seems almost certain that the House will be the arbiter, the House will be the gateway, the House is likely to be the architect of future reform. At the same time, he's also been a leader in immigrant integration in the Congress. During his first term in office in 1992, he led the fight to expand citizenship education and for English language proficiency for newly arrived immigrants. At the citizenship workshop that he's led in Chicago, he's helped more than 50,000 people take the first steps towards naturalizing. So with that, it is my great pleasure and MPI's great honor to introduce Congressman Luis Gutierrez and to thank you for taking the time today.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. I, too, want to say to Commissioner Mayorkas, it's always good to have you. It's really a pleasure to be here tonight, and I'm very excited. I've given some thought, little changes to the way I'm thinking about where we're at this as we go into Christmas and as we go into 2014. So here goes. I think it's time to change our conversation just a little bit about how we see immigration reform and the road to victory. I want to thank Margie McHugh, obviously, and the team at MPI for inviting me to be part of today's ceremony. And congratulations to all the recipients. Your recognition and the injection of some much-needed money means you are leading the way. E Pluribus Unum means awards program, and the thinking behind it is something I strongly support. And just the phrase, E Pluribus Unum, is evocative of the founding principles of our nation, out of many, one. Like immigration and the integration of immigrants into our national fabric, it is the bedrock of principle and is a building block of our nation's history. To borrow another phrase from our nation's history, I want to lay out a few assumptions that should guide our thinking today and our work over the next dozen months, and I believe the next dozen years. We hold these truths to be self-evident, meaning that we can all agree on it as a common starting point for the work ahead. We hold these truths to be self-evident and that eventually, over the course of a few generations, integration and assimilation problems mostly get resolved in this country. We no longer complain on Columbus Day about unassimilated Italians or wish the Irish would integrate themselves and stop celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Whether it's cuisine, language, dress, values, or culture, America changes immigrants over time and to a certain extent, America and her culture and her values are changed and refined by each new generation, including its immigrants. We hold these truths to be self-evident that English is not in danger any longer. The entire world is desperate to learn English, and the United States is no exception. The question is not the desire to learn English, but our capacity to meet the demand with classes and methods that facilitate English learning. I grew up in a truly bilingual family. My parents spoke Spanish to me all the time, and I spoke English to them all the time. And we understood each other perfectly. I had to learn Spanish later when my family moved back to Puerto Rico, which was a rude surprise to a 15-year-old Luis Gutierrez. I still remember a side note. I got off the airplane. We were on Pan Am. This was when flight attendants were very nice, and they gave you free cigarettes and soda. And I'm not complaining about the flight. I mean, they took their pensions away. It's really sad to see what's happened, but this is a time. So, 4 hours on Pan Am. You get to Puerto Rico, and we speak in English. He smokes all the free cigarettes he could get, and I drank all the free Coca-Cola I could drink, right? As soon as we get out the plane, I said to him, Dad, it's really hot here. He says, háblame español, estamos en Puerto Rico. I'm sorry, as a side note, I just had to share that with you. And I said, you didn't say things to your parents back then? You just stepped quiet. Hi, Doris Meister, how are you? Good to see you. And so I said, okay, and there began, now I have to speak Spanish. Thanks a lot. 15 years, you've been telling me you're going to come back to tu tierra, and now you let me know que en tu tierra hay que hablar español. Bueno, anyway, that's another story. When my mom came to the U.S., she didn't even have a winter coat in Chicago. But the Catholic Church was the welcome wagon in our neighborhood, and she got her first winter coat there. Americans are very generous in the end. We are very inclusive, even if it takes us a while. And love and eventually embrace every wave of new immigrants after first being skeptical and holding them at arm's length. And here is another truth. We hold these truths to be self-evident that almost all of the 11 million or more undocumented immigrants currently living in the United States will live in the United States for the rest of their lives. Yes. Most have been here for more than a decade. Most live in families, and their children are mostly citizens of our nation. They are not a problem to be solved, but rather a reality to be embraced and dealt with in our work. They are here. Now, Joe Arpaio and Mitt Romney notwithstanding, the undocumented are not going anywhere, no matter how much some people want them to. So you here in this room are absolutely right to be on the cutting edge of assimilating and integrating them into our society. That said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that there are incredible challenges to working with an undocumented population for policymakers and service providers, either public or private. But it is equally self-evident that many, if not most, of the issues presented by someone's undocumented status are cleared up when we grant them a status. Being afraid of deportation or being afraid of contacting the police or the fire department or a doctor could lead to your deportation is a threshold issue that many service providers find difficult to overcome. Imagine that every time your kid goes out on his bike, you worry that he or she could be injured. Well, that is true for every mom and every dad, including me. But imagine that your real fear is not just that your kid gets hurt, but that your family is split up because your immigration status becomes an issue in your son's health care at the hospital. Signing up for nutrition programs for U.S. citizens can be scary. Signing a kid up for a little league run by the county can be scary. A parent-teacher conference or even your home phone ringing unexpectedly might cause a minor or major panic. Protecting someone from deportation does not solve all their problems, but it is hard for us to solve that individual family, solve any of their problems until we protect them from deportation. So the 11 million people and their families are staying. The question before the country now is not whether they stay, but under what conditions they stay. Whether or not we have an immigration reform, though, will not impact whether most of them end up staying, living, and dying in this country. But we can make that situation much better for immigrants and for the communities in which immigrants are settling if we have a broad, generous immigration bill that enables and accelerates integration and assimilation. Along with the MPI and NCLR, my office is working to incorporate an integration component into whatever bill comes to the House. This combined. This combined with the very fact that we are establishing legality and legitimacy to our entire immigration system means that the next decades will be dynamic ones in the field of immigrant integration. 11 million. Now, let me throw out one additional self-evident truth. We hold these truths to be self-evident that almost all the undocumented immigrants living in the United States will eventually be able to apply for U.S. citizenship. Whether we allow that in legislation passed during this Congress or not, eventually everyone here that wants it and is not a convicted felon or some other special case will be allowed to apply for citizenship if they wait long enough. There simply is no precedent in American history for a group of people not eventually being embraced. Even the worst episodes of exclusion and hatred in America were overtaken by history eventually. But more importantly, the power is building every day. I often talk about a man I met earlier this year who said to me, Gutierrez, find me my papers. He said to me, don't let them deport. Don't let my deportation cause my wife to become a widow. Or my children to be orphaned. My children will remember those who treated their parents poorly and will punish them in the future. But right now, what I need is my papers. With or without immigration reform, an average 880,000 Latino citizens will turn 18 and be eligible to vote every year, which works out to more than 2,000 a day. That is a staggering figure, and these are all citizens of the United States. As an immigrant and ethnic community, the Asian Pacific American community is growing faster than the Latino community. And as my colleagues in the Congress like to remind me, it is starting to tilt more and more heavily away from Republicans and towards Democrats. There is a demographic tsunami coming at America, and any politicians or political structures that are too hard or too rigidly to stop it will simply be swept away. I still have a lot of optimism that we will get immigration reform done during this Congress, but this relies on politicians doing the right thing and understanding the political landscape in front of them, which is always a big if in Washington, D.C. Democrats have to put policy ahead of politics. If we as a party go the route of what is best for us politically in the short run, there is very little incentive to resolve the immigration problem today. All the human suffering and exploitation and degradation aside, what Republicans have been doing on immigration is very good for Democrats. My party has to resist the temptation to play politics and go for an all or nothing strategy. And the Republicans have to break out of their nothing or nothing strategy. The Democrats have put something on the table in the House, not an ideal bill, but a bill around which there are 190 Democrats and a couple of Republicans that have signed on. That's the basis of getting to 218 votes. But so far, we really haven't seen anything from House Republicans. We know what they are against, which they described in different terms like amnesty, the Senate bill, a bill with 800 pages, or something Obama wants. But we have not seen any concrete, passable, or workable proposal. I'm optimistic that we will, in early days of next year, get a bill. I'm always optimistic. But I'm also practical. The man I referred to earlier didn't say, get me my citizenship so I could vote. He didn't say, give me my pathway to citizenship so I could vote someday. He said, get me my papers so I don't have to leave my wife and children behind if I get deported. And he has a real fear of deportation. 2 million in the last 5 years. There will be plenty of time, he said, Think about it. Think strategically, this man. He says, there'll be plenty of time. Para aquellos que me tratan mal, mis hijos se encargarán de ello. That's exactly what he told me. Believe it. There will be time. But right now, búscame mi papel, que es lo que necesito yo. He does not have the luxury of holding out for the perfect Democratic bill. He wants me to find his papers today. If we wanted the perfect Democratic bill, we should have passed it when Democrats were in charge of the House in 2009 and 2010. We should have passed it then. But we didn't, because we didn't want to put at risk, let's face it, our majority in the House and the Blue Dogs that were part of the Democratic coalition. And that's why we didn't do it. The Republicans insist on passing several bills, not one big one. The president has said, and I have said, one thing the president and I agree on. That's fine. Do what you need to do. Some have suggested that the way you thread the needle for Republicans between the immigration reform the country wants, which includes a pathway to citizenship, and the Republicans' number one priority, which is opposing what President Obama is for, is to offer a compromise that includes something less than citizenship. I don't think that that is a good idea because citizenship is important, and I don't think it should be a deal breaker either. Go back to what I said earlier. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that almost all undocumented immigrants living in the United States eventually will be able to apply for citizenship. Whether we allow that in legislation passed this year or not, right now we have to stop the deportations that are breaking up our family at the rate of 1,100 a day. If we do not get citizenship this year, we will be back next year and the year after that. This is not baseball where you play 9 innings and the game is over. No. The fight for justice has infinite innings, and we have to be ready to suit up every morning in a clean uniform and go out and get the work done that day. If we lose, we fight harder. If we win, we fight harder. We don't defend our victories. We expand upon whatever victories we accomplish in 2014. Nobody in this room in 2014 is going to say, oh, great, that's what we got, and the next day it's all over. No, the next day it's America's tradition and history to expand. Ask women. Ask black people in this country. Ask gay people in this country. Ask people in the movement, the labor movement. It's always expanding, not just defending, but expanding on your victory and your rights. That's what makes this the kind of democracy that it is. It's not a stagnant one. It's an ever-evolving one. I can't see this as any different. If we get any form of immigration reform, our work on integration is just beginning. We have to get people signed up. We have to keep people from getting scammed. We must escort them through the process, escort them through the process, which could take decades. How many of us weren't delirious when President Obama announced DACA back in June, right? But think about how sorely deficient we were in helping the Dreamers sign up. How sorely deficient we were. We didn't have the structures. Many said there was no money. There was only money in helping people become citizens. But there wasn't any in helping them. And we still reached 500,000 of them that have successfully today begun their integration into American society. Does anybody really think any president of the United States is going to deport any ever of those 500,000? Ever? No. It's not going to happen. We know it. We're going to expand on that group. Don't give up on immigration reform. Despite all the obituaries we read in the press, it is not dead yet. It is not dead even when John Boehner says it's dead. Number one, because he may say it's alive next week and send reporters scrambling to rewrite the stories they wrote. Second, this movement for immigration reform and integration is larger than the legislative calendar. He controls the legislative calendar. He doesn't control the movement. Ask him what he sees when he looks outside his window, when he walks through the hallways of Congress. He sees the immigrant community, which he said wasn't going to get a vote. That's what he sees. In the coming months, I predict you will see a bill or bills, and you will see Democrats and Republicans working together. When you see Democrats and Republicans working together, act. Act quickly to embrace it. It will not be perfect, and it may not even be pretty. But we have a responsibility to move forward if the bills offer real solutions and don't include poison pills we find simply impossible to swallow. There will be Republicans saying, whatever it is, it does too much, and Democrats saying it does too little, and they could kill any measure before it even has taken its first steps. That is Washington, D.C. But there are men and women of intelligence and goodwill in both parties. You have met them. You know who they are. I've talked to them. I know who they are. Who want to get this done, and we must be ready to support them in getting it done. So, what informs me? What informs me? I had a lot to think about. Thank you for bringing up the book, but I had a lot to think about 3 years as I wrote it. My mom and my dad came from Puerto Rico in 1952 to New York City to banner headlines that said they were bringing tropical diseases to infect the population. That is not an exaggeration. That's what the newspaper headline. To politicians saying, how can we stop more of them from coming? To describing them as criminals and those who simply wanted to get it as part of the welfare state. That's how my parents were received. Without a coat, without understanding the language. They knew bigotry, hatred, and prejudice. And their son today is a member of the Congress of the United States who sits in the Oval Office debating and discussing with the President of the United States comprehensive immigration reform. I'm telling you, we can change the way things are in this country. No one ever gave up on the people in this room. No one ever gave up on me. No one ever gave up on me. And I'm not going to give up on those that have less than I do. I left my wife yesterday. She has the guarantee that I'm coming back to her tomorrow. It is sad that in this country, thousands of people cannot live, millions of people cannot live with that simple expectation to go out to work and be able to know that they're going to return without the government coming and intervening and destroying their family. We can't protect the women in the armed forces of the United States of America. Thousands upon thousands of cases established of sexual abuse and exploitation. And what do we say then to the millions of women that work in the fields and in the factories? The most vulnerable of vulnerable. If we can't protect women in the military of the United States, people die trying to cross that desert to be reunited with their families. People lose a finger, a hand, an eye, lose their life because Latinos are dying in increasing numbers and being hurt in employment. While a good thing is the rest of the population is getting less hurt. Fewer people are dying at work. That's a good thing. Fewer people are getting hurt at work. That's a good thing. OSHA's doing it. The government's doing its job. Why is it that Latinos are increasing? You all know why. Because they're subjected to some of the harshest conditions of work and exploitation in this country. So they die. 1,100 deported every day. We're tired, right? Coming to our office. And let me just say, we know millions will become citizens pretty quickly under any proposal. I believe that. Millions will be legalized. Other millions will be legalized. And eventually, because of our work, whoever the first millions are will join the other millions and we'll get them all done. That's not the question. But remember one thing. Once you deport somebody from the United States of America, it is next to impossible to return them to the United States of America. So our first priority must be to put them in a safe place, in a safe harbor, embrace them and put them somewhere safe so that we can work tomorrow on expanding their rights and their privileges here in this country. The Senate bill says very clearly, you can only be reunited with somebody who gets deported if they were deported after December 31st of 2011 and there's an American citizen or permanent resident here applying for them. It's a myth. It's a myth. We must stop the deportations immediately and we must find. Now, I'm going to negotiate because I wasn't sent to Congress. I wasn't sent to Congress to give speeches and to be defiant and to simply protect and to speak about their interests, but to work out a solution to the crisis that they live in. If we can't protect them in their workplace, if we can't protect women and people are dying, we have an obligation to put them in a safe place. That's where I'm going to work. I am telling you. It's sad that in Washington, D.C., I can't say a kind thing about a Republican that I'm working with, or I get cross-eyed by Democrats. I go with Tuvaladeo in California, and we're together, and we're for comprehensive immigration reform, and I got a bunch of Democrats saying, "What are you doing, Luis? We want to take the House back. He's a boner. He's a target of the DCCC." It offends me, and it angers me, and I stay quiet. And I take it. And the same thing happens. If I say something kind about Paul Ryan, what does he get? Hundreds of thousands of negative ads in his district in Wisconsin. But he stood up in Chicago with me and said, we can no longer have a permanent underclass of 11 million people. I want a pathway to citizenship. I want comprehensive immigration reform. And what did Democrats do? Did we call them up and say, let's form a partnership? No. We vilified the man who stood next to him and said, what are you doing? That's what we have to stop. So I thank you all. And I want to thank the Immigration Policy Institute for allowing me to speak and to congratulate the honorees in this award programs. And I ask you to stay tuned because I'm going to need your help. The immigrants are going to need your help. Thank you so much.
For more information about MPI's work on immigrant integration, please visit www.integrationawards.org.